really bad choices. See, nobody is immune to it. Every single one of us can get caught up in that moment and mess up big time. But it's interesting that as soon as the rooster crowed, he realized it. It like snapped him back to reality, brought everything back into perspective, and he's like, oh man, it happened. I did it. Then immediately he was overcome with guilt, shame. It says he left the courtyard weeping bitterly. He was broken, angry at himself, just destroyed on the inside. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been there far too many times where I knew the things I'm supposed to do. I know the things that I'm not supposed to do. Then I get caught up in a moment, whatever that moment is. Maybe it's just my own, I just want to do my own thing and I don't care about anybody else. Then I mess up. And then all of a sudden, I kind of snap back into reality. I'm like, oh man, I screwed up again. And then I get hit with that guilt and that shame. For me, that happens a lot when I kind of start losing my cool. I get frustrated about whether I'm driving down the road and some dude from Texas cuts me off, or, and I lose my cool and I do something that I know that I shouldn't do, that I would tell you all not to do, that I wouldn't encourage anyone not to do, but then I do it in that moment, right? Or someone knocks on my door at 9 o'clock at night and wants to try to sell me something. That happened this past week. I'm walking the door because I knew I saw him in the neighborhood. He wants to come sell me an alarm system, 9 o'clock at night, whatever. And I'm walking to the door and Jen's like, Andy, be nice. Because she knows me. Okay, we'll be nice. But sometimes in those moments, I'm not. I'm a smart aleck, and I'm rude, and I can be a jerk at times. And I don't want to be. I try not to be. I tell myself not to be. Then I get caught up in a moment, and then I do it. And then as soon as I step back in the house or whatever the situation is, I feel terrible. Because that's not who God has called me to be. That's not what I'm supposed to live like. That's not who I am. Guilt and shame then begins to take over. And we've all been there. Peter was there. He denies Jesus. He denied Jesus, and then he had to sit back and watch as he was beaten and crucified. And then as he breathed his last breaths, knowing that one of his last interactions with the man that he followed, who he served, who he knew was the Messiah, Son of God, his last interaction was, I don't know him, not me. I just can't imagine that feeling. I'm sure he was so consumed with it after his death. Day one, day two, just suffocated with that guilt. But then that third day came, right? A group of women came running to the disciples and told them, man, hey, the tomb is empty. There were some angels there, and they told us, like, we're freaking out, but they're like, hey, if you're looking for Jesus, he's not here. He's risen. And so the disciples hear this, and then, of course, Peter, man, he just took off, run into the tomb. And I think it's because he realized he had a chance to make it right. Of course, it's much bigger than that, but I'm sure that that's one of the things that slipped in his mind. So right out the gate, I think it's really important to know that in the following days, right? In the days following the resurrection, one of the things that we see is that Jesus restores our hope. He restores our hope. He restored Peter's hope. I'm sure when he heard this, obviously the first thing is he said is, man, he said this was going to happen. He is the Messiah. He is right. I mean, he just rose from the grave. This is incredible. But I also think there was that piece that he's like, now I can make this right. Hope for him was restored. And we need to understand that through the resurrection of Jesus, all hope, every bit of it, for every single one of us, has been restored. After his death, burial, and resurrection, there at that time, some people, man, they believed while he was doing his earthly ministry before his death that he was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah. Then he died, and they're like, well, he's gone. They started to doubt. They started to deny. Maybe everything we thought, what we believed originally, was a lie. But then he rose, claiming ultimate victory, saying, this, I told you, this is who I am. It restored their hope. It restored their faith. It restored everything. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in a similar situation. Maybe for you, your hope has kind of been dwindling a little bit. You've lost hope in whatever your circumstance or situation may be. Maybe it's wavering a little bit, or maybe you're just hopeless. You feel like you are just completely lost, gone, down and out. There's nothing, no chance of recovery. You've lost hope. Maybe it's that you've lost hope that things could ever get better, that life itself could get better, that things could get better for your family, that your circumstance could change. Maybe you've just lost hope in that. Maybe you've lost hope in being able to overcome whatever addiction that you're facing and battling, whether how big and significant or maybe small and insignificant it may be, but there's that addiction there that you can't seem to overcome and you're just losing hope that it's ever going to happen. Maybe you've lost hope that you'll ever overcome that the depression and anxiety that is just crushing you. Maybe you've lost hope that someone that you love that's sick could be healed because you've prayed and you've prayed and you're not hearing anything. Nothing's happening. You're losing hope. Maybe you've lost hope in the fact that you could be whole again because you lost somebody or because something tragic happened. Maybe you're like Peter and you've screwed up so big. You've messed up. Maybe you denied Jesus like him, but you've messed up so much that you feel like, man, there's no way that God could forgive me. There's no way that God could use somebody like me for anything. And so you've thrown in the towel and you've just given up hope. And if that's you this morning, I seriously want you to understand that because of the resurrection, there's hope. The resurrection absolutely changed everything. Things could always get better because Jesus is alive and he's in control of all things. You can always be forgiven no matter what because he paid the price for your forgiveness. And it's sufficient to cover all sins, all screw-ups, not just some, not just the small ones that we think are small, everything. You can be forgiven if you seek it. You can gain victory over whatever it is that you're facing because Jesus is with you. And he's for you. And he's got your back. Like Peter, you can have hope again because of the resurrection. Because in the following days, Jesus restored hope forever and for everyone. So back to my guy, Peter here. We know that Jesus at this point has risen from the grave. And because of that fact, Peter's hope is restored, right? He restored his hope. He has a chance once again to make things right. But what now? There's hope, and that's great. But what changes? What happens once we have hope? Well, over the next 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus, he began to appear to his followers and hundreds of other people over that 40 days. And then one of the interactions, I think it's just, it's incredible, right? And it's what we see in John chapter 21. And what we see is we find that Jesus, this is where he appears to them on the beach. And so basically what happens is Peter tells all his guys, hey, let's go fishing. Because, you know, before they started following Jesus, they were fishermen. So some of them were fishermen. So they go fishing. And they had a terrible night of fishing. I don't know if you all have ever fished Can be relaxing, it can be fun, but it can be some of the most frustrating times ever, especially if you do any night fishing. I used to fish in some tournaments, which I know is probably surprising to some of you, but my brother-in-law is a big fisherman, and we fished in tournaments together, and we had a couple night tournaments, like all night long. And it's dark, bugs, can't see anything, and if you're not catching them, it's terrible. It's not fun. And that's what they do. They fished all night long, didn't catch anything, and so they see this guy on the beach. They don't know who it is. They see a guy on the beach, and he's like, hollers like, hey, how's it going? You catching any? And they're like, nope, nothing. He's like, all right, throw your nets on the right side of the boat. That's where they're at. These are professional fishermen. I'm probably, they're like, okay, whatever. But they do it, and they slay them. They're hauling them in so much they can barely contain it. They can't even get the boat in hardly because they caught so many fish. And then one of them realized, hey, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And so then Peter, you know, being dramatic, jumps out of the boat in the water, swims to the beach to go see him. Actually says he puts his, like, clothes back on, so I don't know if he was fishing naked or what, but I'm just going to leave that there. Peter, you do Peter. I don't know. But he throws it back on, then he goes and he swims to shore. And then the rest of them join him, and then they're there, and then so they bring some of the fish, and they start having breakfast, and it says that Jesus served them breakfast. And then we pick it up here in verse 15. It says, after breakfast, check this out, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question three times. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? This is so beautiful. In the following days, Jesus not only restores our hope, but he takes it a step further. Jesus restores and redeems our failures. He fully restores and redeems us through the resurrection. And that's what he was doing here in John 21 with Peter. I mean, do you think he didn't hear him the first few times that he asked this question? I mean, he asked him the same question three times in a row. Parents out there, you know what that feels like when your kid's like, hey, can I do this? And you're like, no. Cool. Hey, can I do this? No. It gets frustrating to get asked questions over and over and over again. But he asked Peter three times, do you love me? And it wasn't because Jesus didn't hear him. It wasn't that Jesus didn't believe him. I personally believe that Jesus was fully restoring and redeeming his failure. Knowing how much that was weighing on Peter, the fact that he had denied him three times, he's going to then turn around and ask him three times, do you love me? Giving him that opportunity to express verbally, face to face with Jesus, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. He wanted to help Peter connect the dots, to help him overcome those feelings of guilt and shame, not just to redeem him and restore him, because that was done at the cross. But he wanted him to understand it up here and in here, to feel it, to know it. You don't have to carry around that guilt and that shame, because in the following days, following the resurrection, Jesus restored and redeemed everything. All of our flaws, all of our failures, all of our imperfections were made whole again, completely. And for Peter, man, that unleashed him. It unleashed him to be and do all that God had created him to be and do. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But I want you to understand this. That yes, because of the resurrection, we have hope. And that is such a beautiful and encouraging thing. And I hope and pray that every single one of you walk out of here today knowing that you have hope. Whatever your situation is, wherever you feel hopeless, I promise you, you have hope because of Jesus. But I also want you to know that whatever guilt, shame, frustration, whatever it is that you're holding on to because of something that you did, Jesus redeemed that. And he's restoring you. Be clear that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you are forever restored. There's nothing that you can do to make him cast you to the side. You can't run far enough for him not to find you. You can never run too far. Oh, we try. But he's going to be right there to bring us home. You are restored. Not because of anything that you have ever done or could ever do, but because of Jesus. Because he died and he rose again. And in those following days, he showed us that. He showed his disciples that. He showed Peter that. That Peter, you are fully restored. I love Psalms 103, verse 12. I love it. I love visual. You know, I read scripture and I can see it, and there's these visual examples. He said, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to be a genius to know that the east can never be the west, can never catch up, polar opposites. And that's how far he's separated our sin. It's gone. We don't have to hold it. We don't have to live in the mess of our flaws and our failures. Don't let it overcome you. It's been redeemed because of Jesus. Maybe you didn't deny Jesus straight out like Peter did, but I'm telling you right now, when you live in the guilt and shame of your sin, and you let that consume you, and you let that sideline you, thinking you're not worthy, or that God can't forgive you, you're denying him. You're denying what he did, because that's why he did it. He died and rose again so that you could be set free. You don't have to live from that anymore. He's redeemed it. So be set free. In the following days, Jesus revealed to us that we in fact have hope. And that redemption is reality for every single one of us because of what he did on the cross. It's Jesus and only Jesus that brings hope. It's Jesus and only Jesus that brings redemption. It's a beautiful and incredible gift. And all you have to do is receive it. It's there. He gave it. He laid down his life so that you could have it, so that you could be made whole again, so that you could be made right before the Father. So receive it. Receive it. And like Peter, once you do, I promise you're going to be unleashed. You're going to do incredible things. God is going to work through you in a mighty way. Not because of you, but because of him. We have hope because of the resurrection. We've been restored. So we need to live like people with hope and people that have been redeemed and restored. So that's my challenge for you today. Because I know how consuming guilt and shame can be. I know how terrible it feels to walk through life hopeless. We don't have to do that anymore. We see that in those following days. So receive that today. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, man. We're just so thankful. So thankful that you gave us your son. That he came, humbled himself as a servant. Came to this earth, died a vicious death, but then rose again for us. So that we could be forgiven, so that we could have hope. God, we're just so thankful for that. And God, in this time of just prayer and connection and reflection, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would speak to me. I pray that you'd speak to each person that's here, God, whatever it is that we need to hear this morning. And as we continue in the spirit of prayer, maybe for you, maybe the first step for you is just to receive that gift for the very first time. That you've never given your life to Christ. You've never confessed and believed that Jesus is who he said he is. If that's you this morning, you've never stepped over that line of faith, given your life to Jesus, understand that he loves you. He loves you. He died and rose again so that you could be set free, connected to the Father for all eternity. Not held back by your past, but being able to live for your future. And if that's you this morning, understand the scripture tells us that if we confess in our heart, believe in our heart that God rose Jesus from the grave, we confess our sins and believe that we'll be saved. That you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you'll be forever connected with him. It's not some special prayer or some magic words to say. It's your heart connecting with the heart of God. Genuinely just saying, God, I need you. I have flaws, I'm failure, I'm a failure at times, I'm not perfect, but I need you as my Savior, and I believe that you died and rose again for me. You just confess and believe. However it is that he leads you this morning, you just do business with him. If that's where you're at, just confess and believe this morning. And if you're not ready to step over that line of faith, it's okay. Just we encourage you, we pray that you make that decision, but that's a decision between you and God. And if you're not ready for that, please keep coming to LifePoint Church. Please keep coming and hanging out with us. We love you. You're welcome here. And we want to help just kind of walk that journey with you. Answer questions or whatever you may have. But if you are ready to make that decision, man, just right there from your seat, you can call out to God. Or you can come talk to me after the service. I'd be more than happy to talk with you. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. You've given your life to Christ. You're connected to him. But man, you're not living set free. You're not living with hope. You're not living like someone that's been redeemed and restored. You're allowing the enemy to sideline you. Because you're still consumed with guilt and shame of that thing that you did that you wish you wouldn't have done. Or that you had a setback in whatever that addiction that you have is. Or you just allow just your emotions or your health or your mental health or whatever it may be just to cripple you. And you say, I just can't. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. The reality is we're not. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus is. And that's why he came and died. And that's why you originally connected to the Father, to be set free, to be in relationship with him. And when you're in relationship with him, you've been redeemed. There's hope. So live like people of hope. Live like people that have been redeemed and set free from all sin, all shame, all guilt, all failures, because it's gone as far as the east is from the west. And we can live from that. So be set free today. Reclaim that in your life. Reclaim that in your heart. allow Jesus to restore your hope and to redeem your failures. God, again, we thank you. We thank you for restoring us and redeeming us, for loving us. Lord, I pray during this time that you again speak to us, Lord, and help us to respond. Soften our hearts. Help us to receive whatever it is that you're speaking to us. And we thank you, God. While Jared and the team plays, you just do business with God, whatever it is that he leads. And just spend some time with him.